This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu and I'm here with Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia. Now, we're going to start off with a story, a big story. You were away last week, so hence Asohan came in to replace you. And the reason why you were away is because you were covering Ganesh Banga's MOL's listing in NASDAQ.
Yeah.
That was in New York.
Yep.
Right?
New York.
So
right on Times Square, man.
Yeah, but you said his listing also took a hit. What hit is this you're talking about?
Okay, well, let's just talk about us being there, right? So it was really exciting to be part of. You feel like you're part of history, right? So I took a lot of pictures with my phone. And I said, okay, let me grab all these various pictures of Ganesh and his entourage, right? And Vincent Tan was there with his family, obviously really super excited and acting almost very childish, like, you know, like with that childlike happiness, right? Because it's not every day you get a NASDAQ listing. So I think what's notable is that, okay, they got listed, but just before the stock was traded, was like 10 something in the morning, you had the photo op and on the ground floor. You know, they've got that background with NASDAQ, and then the senior vice president of NASDAQ gave a speech. And then he called MOL a very innovative and game-changing company. And I guess, in a way, MOL is a customer now, right? So you expect him to maybe say that. But after that, I spoke to him and he said that it was also a very brave decision because the markets are now quite down. And said a lot of tech companies that wanted to list have deferred their IPO. And then before that, I had spoken to Ganesh and he mentioned that he's going ahead with it because, you know, a listing is just the first step of the next part of your life, right? So he said he didn't care about the market sentiment. They want to just go and get it done with. And it was a brave decision. Then the NASDAQ guy confirmed that, not that I didn't believe Ganesh, but he confirmed that a lot of companies actually have deferred their listing. So in a sense, then Ganesh took a hit because the first day the stock price went down by quite a bit. And then, you know, when you wait for the first ticker price, because your share, you issued at 12 US dollars, 12.50 a share. And then you're waiting for that first price is traded and it suddenly hits at 10.35. Then you're like, it kind of, no matter what you say, it spoils that first moment when you want to go, yeah, look at that, it's above the IPO price, right? But then during the day, it came down to 8 something, close that much. But what Ganesh said I found very revealing was that he said this IPO process, Jeff, had taken up 50% of his time, you know, in getting it done. And I was really surprised at how much time it took up. And this is from January of this year. So for the last 10 months or the last 9 full months, you know, January to September, it's taken up 50% of his time. And that's time he could have devoted to growing and building MOL. And then I was on the same flight back the next day with Charles Sung. He's one of his key lieutenants who's done a great job in helping build MOL. So one of the hidden, you know, key people behind, you know, Ganesh's big shadow that Ganesh's throughout. But and he also said the same thing. It's taken up a lot of his time too. So now that these two guys and other management team are unleashed to fully focus on the business, you know, you expect interesting things to happen to MOL. Yeah. And you know, and I wrote a commentary the next day to say that, you know, they're in a market with some of the most aggressive investors in the world, right? The most aggressive investors in the world. And there's a market that allows short selling and you've got momentum players, which means that when the momentum swings one way, they reinforce the momentum by jumping in. If the momentum swings the other way, they reinforce it by jumping out. So your swings are very extreme. And that's what you already see happening too. And stock prices have tanked this week too, correct? So it's just part of global mover. No indication of the prospects of MOL. So I think it's an interesting stock to look for. Huge impact on the ecosystem, I think.
Well, the hard work also starts now, basically.
Oh, yeah, you know, totally.
After, you know, he's dedicated so much of his time trying to go into IPO now. It's what, 14 years or something?
Yeah, right? 14 years, yeah, of building MOL from year 2000.
Now he's finally done it. Now you can say actually the work now really starts.
Really,
now.
Yeah. Now it gets serious. Like somebody once told me when I was looking to raise some money from them, he said, and talks progress, he said, you know, Karamjit, now it gets serious. I said, what do you mean this is not serious yet? All the stress you're going through is not serious yet.
So, it's a public company.
Yeah, and every 90 days. So huge amount of work in front of them. But if you read the article I wrote, there's just a lot of there's a lot of wind behind MOL sale too.
True.
And there's a lot of stuff there. But you read those articles.
Gotta read the article.
You get a good sense for what's going on.
Now, Magic Academy, they launched a 5-day kickoff event.
Yep.
What can possibly have over 5 days? And yeah, have you gone and checked it out yet?
You have to ask me that. On air some more. I haven't yet, just because there are things going on. It started yesterday.
Uh-huh.
So me and Go already had pre-one-on-one interviews set up with people from overseas. And if we then turn it down, it's very unprofessional, and you can do that. And the good thing is, it's a 5-day program.
Yeah.
So I was actually looking to go this afternoon. You've got at 4 p.m. I think 20 startups are gonna pitch or do their bhangra on stage. So I was gonna go for that, I thought, but then there's the Green Tech iGEM going on too, and there's a Green Tech forum that I want to go for, because we haven't been writing about Green Tech yet. So if you want to be your eye on the tech ecosystem, we better damn well, you know, tell you what's going on that you maybe don't see. So I got to rush over after this for that. So that's why I haven't gone yet.
Okay.
Tomorrow morning, I definitely want to go. So if anyone wants to go afterwards at 4 p.m., I think it's a great use of your time. And tomorrow morning, our irrepressible Kylie Ng is going to be speaking also. And he's got the AM, the morning session, I think at 9 a.m. And he's going to be talking about because he's a regional player now, right? He's going to talk about how maybe some of the common mistakes startups make when they try to raise money. So that's at 9 or 9:30 a.m. And I'm definitely, you know, heading down for that. So
That's a lot of things will be happening in Magic.
A lot of things will be happening. And I think that's exciting. And the fact that they can come up with stuff over these 5 days, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've put down that come for this launch of the academy and world-class speakers. And what struck me is that if you look at their the ad that they created, out of the five faces there, three are Malaysian.
Uh-huh.
And you suddenly hit me, you're right. You know, Kylie Ng is world-class, right?
Yes.
Grace Tsai, who founded the Hub in Singapore, shared workspace, doing amazingly well, and now is working with Magic. Is world class, and you've got the third speaker is of course Vishen Lakhiani, right?
Of course,
who's maybe Galaxy class lah, since he's on the on the board of the X project or something. So it's superb lah. It's I think I wrote a piece saying that. I wrote a piece with my Mark Cheng story. If we have time, we'll come to that.
We will come to your Mark Cheng story.
Saying that, you know, this is the best time to be an entrepreneur, this is certainly in Malaysia the absolutely best time, you know, to go out there and be an entrepreneur, especially in the tech space, I guess. Mm-hmm. We're biased, lah, right?
Speaking of which, it's now the best time to go for a break before
That's a nice segue.
Yes. I'm speaking to Karmjit Singh from digitalnewsasia.com. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Bigotry Free Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back. This is Tech Talk, and I'm here with Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia. My name is Jeff Sandhu. And Karam, now you were moderating a panel session at an EC conference.
E-commerce
conference by Exabytes. Your third year in a row.
Third year in a row, man.
So you would have seen the conference grow then?
I guess I have, actually. That's an interesting thing you want to raise there. I wanted to talk about something else. But yes, the conference from 2012, when I was first there as a moderator, versus this year, what struck me, especially when I looked at the agenda, it was a 2-day agenda, right? So I'm there with Chan, the CEO and founder of Exabytes, run a very successful web hosting company.
Yeah.
And I said, "Wow, Chan, your conference has expanded. It's a 2-day conference now." Huh?
Wow.
And then he looked at me and said, "It's been a 2-day conference every year." I'm like, "Excuse me while I just, remove my foot, you know, from my mouth there." Sorry, Chan. Okay. But here's this. This is the first year I noticed that it's a 2-day conference. So it's interesting.
But okay, what happened during...
But when you look at the agenda, so I was there because I was somewhere else. Yesterday was a busy day. Mm-hmm. And then I was there just in time to moderate my session. But when you look at the agenda for the 2 days and you look at the companies that are sharing experiences and that have their opinions about something, you realize, wow, there are actually a lot of interesting e-commerce players in Malaysia. You know, because you've got people to tap in your own ecosystem, right? And I say, wow, the ecosystem here is really happening. And then Chan happened to use the word ecosystem too. He says the ecosystem coming together.
Mm.
The whole conference was interesting. I think there were like So my session was 5:45 to 6:45. Even that late, right? And of course, maybe it helped that it rained cats and dogs yesterday, right? In PJ, absolutely. And by the way, I had my 50 ringgit voucher, right?
You got stuck in a very bad jam, and I'm sure a lot of people did.
I'm lucky I was not on the other side of the highway heading towards Sunway, right? That was insane. It was a parking lot.
We are sidetracking now.
Yeah, so my session was that late, and yet there were 90% of the audience, you know, was still there. There were like over 200 people still there. So the hunger to learn is very impressive. And I think, and I've seen it grown from the first year to now, agenda is much more interesting. Participation has always been there, but I think this year it was more. And I'm thinking, as I was driving here, probably next year you're going to have 400 people at that conference. Very interesting. So my session was about whether there's any difference between online and traditional marketing.
Oh.
So there were some interesting people on the panel, and I didn't bring my lanyard, so I can't remember the names. Oh, sorry about that. But there's a guy from Sean from Milkadeel. Really eloquent. And there was a guy from Expedia.
Uh-huh.
And there was a Francis Liu, who runs a Nexus Media or whatever. It helps people with social marketing and SEM, SEO and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And then there was Rupert, that German guy. First name I forget. Last name is Rupert, who runs Presto.com.my, that online offline grocery store.
Yeah.
We wrote about them 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting panel. And Francis was talking about a couple of things when he had his session. He said that make sure your market and product, right, your market and product tells an innovative and cohesive story. And you just look at that, make sure that the marketing you're doing for your stuff and your product, right, tells an innovative and cohesive story. That just, it on itself, is so difficult to do. I was listening to his presentation and he said, man, that's difficult. That means the entrepreneur who wants to set up something, then at the point of launch, he has to make sure that he or she has a really good marketing person who can make sure that the messaging is very cohesive, right?
Yeah.
I just told Francis it's very tough to do, and he acknowledged it is. And then he told some audience, he gave some tips about your findability is key to accessibility. Because there's so much choice out there. How do you achieve that findability? And he told people, don't mislead your audience. So there was and it brought me an interesting conversation, a little snippet from, I thought it was you, somebody else, some other paifler. And he said that he's reading one of the new sites out there. And he said now that they're not, he's upset with them because the headlines are really snappy and attractive. And then when you click to read,
it's a clickbait.
So he said, he used the word clickbait, right? Mm. So that's a term from a long time ago. I'm surprised that term is still around. So he stopped reading that site. And as I shared this anecdote, because Francis was saying that you must make sure the quality of your content, and your content can be your products, right, is really good. And there was a guy on the front row shaking his head too. And I think he also shared the same sentiment of this particular portal that I was using as an example, where you need to get it right.
So the
other thing Francis said, very interesting, is that buying links is a disaster. He said you're committing suicide if you buy links. And apparently Google, aka God in the virtual world, and actually his presentation made it seem that he said follow Google's guidelines. No matter what you do, follow Google's guidelines. He said that if Google finds out, they will blacklist you. And what happens is that you'll always appear on page 8 or page 10, of searches.
And to get out of that is just difficult.
Really, I didn't know that.
It's really hard. Yeah.
And then he even said that Google once penalized Google Japan too, because they found they were doing something, that's not kosher. So quite interesting. I think the people who were there stayed till the end really enjoyed the sharing that came out of it. And I enjoyed, just being there and moderating the session. And it's the first time, Jeff, I moderated a session where suddenly as you're starting, there are 4 glasses of beer appear on the stage, Because it's already passed, but it doesn't pass 5:45, 6, right? So Chan, ordered 5 beer glasses and sent it up to the panel. But I'm a soya bean guy, so I said, guys, you got the wrong drink for me.
Anyways, budget 2015.
What's
good? What's not so good? Has DNA got the lowdown for the tech industry?
So we ran a story and we had a great infographic from Ching from iMoney.
Mm-hmm.
He let us use one of their infographics. Superb. You got to just go to the article, even if you just look at the infographic, it's worth your while. Just lots of good information captured there. Right. So there's a lot of stuff that even the mainstream media has been reporting on about the budget, right? Like the 150 million digital content industry fund. So content players now will have access to another 150 million ringgit, and this will be run by the MCMC.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got the introduction of the services export fund. I think this would have been spoken about, but what we did was that we asked industry players, and Go wrote this really good story, and he said, what was missing, could we have done better? And surprisingly, Nazrin, CEO of Cradle Fund, said that he felt that there was a missed opportunity to introduce a corporate tax incentive, right? Which is a one-for-one tax deduction for big companies to invest in tech startups. So like in Singapore, Singtel makes investments in tech companies. And if they had made an investment in someone for $50 million, then you get that one-for-one tax deduction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And just yesterday at another conference before going off for the e-commerce, there was the Smart Sourcing Conference too yesterday by Outsourcing Malaysia. So I was a moderator for that too, but we'll talk about that next week.
So I
met a guy and he was saying that in Australia, so he's an entrepreneur. He's about to list the company in the Australian Securities Exchange next year that he and his cousin bought into. And he said originally that company was invested in by Telstra back in like 2005, 2006 for like 600 million Aussie dollars.
Wow.
It's just absolutely insane, right? Mm. But he refused to tell me how much the company was, what they bought it for, because he said it would look very embarrassing on Telstra. I'm using that as an example of a big company, right, buying a startup. And then where is that, you know, is if this one-to-one tax incentive comes in, more corporate companies can take a risk. We really like that company.
Yeah.
Let's just take a stake in them. Not 100% maybe, but 50%. And hey, look at that. The government's encouraging us to take this risk too.
Yeah, all right.
So Nazrin spoke about that. And then Team, if I just have a bit of time, Team submitted three proposals, actually, Team's Policy Institute. None of them were adopted in the budget, but Dr. Sivapalan, who heads that, is still optimistic that he says Rome was not built in the day, not built in a day. And he said it'll just take us more time for us to convince the government to see the merits of our proposals, and we'll work on it to be adopted next year. Great, right? And even in the next Malaysia plan. That's the kind of positivity that is great, right? You don't succeed now, and
you
entrepreneurs need that too. Yeah, try again. And he spoke quite a bit about what's going on. And then Jamaluddin, last one from Bujang, the CEO of Malaysian Venture Cap, said that efforts to grow our entrepreneur ecosystem are an ongoing process. And he says that you're going to see a lot more efforts into this space, and momentum already is there. And he said, watch this space next year. More's going to happen.
All right. Now, before we leave, Mark Cheng's story, his second act. And where did you do the interview?
I love the location of the interview. So the visit to NASDAQ for MOL's IPO was really your epitome of a whirlwind tour, right? Whirlwind visit or lightning visit. Not even whirlwind, lightning. Because we've got lightning here, no whirlwinds. Although there's that picture going around on social media about that tornado, right?
Yes.
In Subang or whatever.
Yeah.
because I arrived at the hotel just short of midnight Wednesday. The event was Thursday. Friday morning at 7 a.m., I'm on the flight, you know, back to the airport and back to lovely, you know, smoggy, hazy Kuala Lumpur. But anyway, so we had time. There was a window in the afternoon, right after lunch for a while, and lo and behold, Mark Cheng was there because he's accepted Ganesh's request to be a director, to be on the board of MOL. Fantastic, right? And I was trying to get together with Mark in Malaysia just to do the interview. I wanted to try to get the first interview of his plans after Job Street. And when he was there, I said, hey, Mark, you know, you're not escaping from me now. So we went for a Mexican lunch, you know, together. And then after that, there was a bit of time. I said, Mark, I've always wanted to visit the Metropolitan Museum. At the Met, they call it, right, in Central Park. Let's just make a quick visit there. And Mark was okay with that. So we sat in the cafeteria at the Met, you know, and then I began my interview with him. Yeah, so it was nice. And then I didn't finish because we had to go for a tour, a quick one-hour tour. That's all we did. And then came back. Then at night, I finished my second part of my interview with him. So that was the location of it. But the story is just so amazing. Mm. So to just get down to the COVID, Mark had a rough upbringing, like many people did, right? But he managed to escape that, not escape that. He managed to break that cycle for himself, and managed to get himself to the U.S. where he studied at the University of Texas. I didn't know that. He did his master's, I get, in MIT. He managed to get there to the U.S. and then he worked his way through college. And imagine that in his first year of college, he couldn't speak decent English. You know, I think you guys at BFM will know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. And then he improved himself, right? He improved himself. And he came out and then came back to Malaysia. But he always remembers those hard times and the lack of, like, even just neutral respect you get from your peers, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't have that. And he managed to overcome all of that. And now fast forward to today. he's about to cash out of at least the internet businesses of JobStreet, and it's going to be worth, what, 250 million ringgit when the deal is done, right? And it's going to be done anytime now. What's going to happen? He said he wants to invest. He's going to use his own money. So he may not set up a formal fund structure because it's his own money, but he will invest. He said he'll start with 10 million US invest in entrepreneurs in the region. Malaysia will benefit a lot because he's going to look in Malaysia. Obviously, it's his home country, although he's going to be based out of Singapore because he's been there for 10 years trying to grow JobStreet too, right? Mm-hmm. And he says that his fund will be partial, and this is the kicker, towards entrepreneurs who come from disadvantaged backgrounds. So he wants to help similar entrepreneurs like him, you know, who have had it tough early on, but despite that, you know, for some reason still have that fire in them to say, hey, I think I want to be an entrepreneur. I think this is an opportunity in the market that I can exploit, or this is an opportunity in the market nobody's seeing, and I think I want to show that this is an opportunity. Incredible. Uh-huh. And he's going to invest small amounts, 50,000 ringgit to 100,000 ringgit. Maybe he may extend it a bit on entrepreneurs at the early stage.
Mm.
Because he said that's where you can help to shape the company's vision and strategy also. Because sometimes if you come in too late, you already have existing shareholders, then you cannot do too much. And he said, he actually used the word screwed up. We've actually seen some companies where the shareholding structure is screwed up, mm-hmm. and then you cannot go in because then you've got too many shareholders, and then each thing their way is right, even though the guy may be in construction, he's invested in a company. Thinks his way is right because he's listening to his nephew who read an article on DNA or TechCrunch. But so it's incredible, I think, for entrepreneurs here. And the fact that he's focusing, going to focus the money in that space is amazing. And he wants entrepreneurs who will want to do businesses that create social good, you know, and while making money too. So like JobStreet, social good, right? You help people build better careers.
Yeah.
Really, really exciting. He's going to look around the region also. So he's going to be still based in Singapore for the simple reason that he says he doesn't like to do traveling, but because his fund will be focusing on Southeast Asia, Malaysia, but it's also look in Japan and in Taiwan. And he says from Singapore, you can make day trips to Taiwan.
Yeah.
Mm. Whereas from Kuala Lumpur, you cannot yet. Mm. So he's going to be based there, but he's Malaysian, and he's going to be obviously partial to, you know, entrepreneurs here who want to reach out to him. Tremendously exciting. Mm. Looking forward to him getting that going. And
so
you can.
It's an awesome story.
Yeah, it's really one of those stories where you're just so excited about writing, you know. Actually, this is great.
Now, reading list, I'm just going to say, since you run out of time, Edwin Yap's Salesforce.com, that piece. And also
Predictive Analytics, yeah.
Predictive Analytics. And also Go Tian Yu, he had a story on free your IP and make money.
Yeah, from a countryman, Mohan Swamy. Go and read that, man.
Go and read that. I've been speaking to Karamjit Singh from DigitalNewsAsia.com. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Chakaday.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.